Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Welcome to wonderful Wednesday where the winds are whirling. I was trying to rhyme that out. But listen, it's a great Wednesday today, and we have a lot to talk about. Of course, our dear friend Daniel Seckham will be calling in from Australia, giving us a report of what's going on with Israel, Islam, and the end times. I believe that we are living in what the Bible refers to as the end times. I believe that we have been in the end of times for 2,000 years, but from God's perspective, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And so we cannot judge things according to our own time frame, our what do they call it, the Chronos time, you know, that linear time. We are dealing with a God who dwells in the Kairos. He dwells in an unlimited realm, and he is the beginning and the end himself. And so, but where are we? Are we closer to the end of the ages? I believe we are, and we're going to talk more about it today. And I'm going to begin with one verse of Scripture in Mark chapter 3, verse 24. I believe these words have to echo in every heart because it helps us along the way to keep us centered on what is true. Jesus said in Mark 3, 24, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end." Yes, ladies and gentlemen, divide and conquer is the mantra of the hour, and we are living in a divided nation. There is talk of civil war everywhere across this country and around the world. The divisions are getting very clear. There's no longer an obscurity. There's no longer a gray area. It just seems to be black and white, and it's getting vicious on every level. And men and women of faith need to know how to walk through the days that we are living in. It is certainly time to put on the full armor of God and to march in the destiny, calling, and assignments that God has for each one of us. But again, without further ado, I want to welcome to the broadcast our dear brother in the Lord, Daniel Seckham. Daniel, good morning. God bless you, sir. Welcome to the Watchman Radio broadcast today.
Awesome, Vincent. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again.
Well, it is a pleasure to be with you. Hey, right off the top of our conversation this morning, I finally got to see a little bit of this gentleman in London named Robinson that was locked up, I think, for like a one-year sentence.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, wow, what is going on with the courts over in London? Can you tell us a little bit more about that story?
Yeah, just to bring everyone up to speed in regard to what's happening with Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson, well, first of all, I need to say quickly off the bat, Tommy, I don't believe he's a Christian, but he is an activist that's trying to wake people up to the Islamization of Great Britain. So he has been he was brought up in the town of Luton. At the time when he was brought up in Luton, when he was a child, there was only one mosque. Now, to this day, there are over 30 mosques in Luton. And it's predominantly an Islamic suburb. It's parts of Luton is a no-go zone. So this gives you a bit of an idea into the background of Tommy. Tommy has been, and by the way, Tommy Robinson is not his real name. He uses an alias because he has copped so much violence as a result of speaking up about this. And so what has actually happened, he's trying to speak out and sound the alarm of what's been actually going on and how basically England, and this is not hyperbole when I say this, England is basically becoming more and more Islamicized by the day. You know, the number one boy's name in England is Muhammad. And this is not the first time this has happened. I think this is about 5 years in a row. But that's the number one boy's name is Muhammad. Now, think about that. Why would that be the case? Now, the other thing that there are also, I believe, approximately, this is conservatively saying this, but there's about 10 different mayors of major cities who are all Muslim. Okay. Now, the Home Secretary, Naveed Javid, I think that's his name, is a Muslim. And he could very well be a Muslim by the end of the year. So within the next 6 months, England, Great Britain, could very well have its first Muslim Prime Minister. So Tommy Robinson is one of the very, very brave souls who actually has the courage to stand against political correctness and to say, listen, you need to wake up. You know, this is a subversion that is going on here, and it's happening right under your noses, and you can't see it. You know, he's trying to say, listen, you know, you are not a racist if you speak up about this, okay? But the English public have been so, intimidated and bullied into silence that they're too afraid to say anything because they don't want to be socially ostracized by being labeled an Islamophobe or being labeled a racist or a bigot. So the British public has been bullied into silence. And Tommy Robinson is trying to buck against this trend. What happened was that he went and filmed. He was doing journalistic work, okay, as journalists do. He went to where there was a court proceedings going on, where there are 10 Muslim men who were being basically, where the sentence was handed down that particular day because of their part in a grooming gang, where they were grooming young English girls and raping them. It was that was what they were charged for. So Tommy Robinson was there. He wasn't anywhere near the court steps. So he was just waiting to shoot some footage of when the perpetrators came out of the court. And because he was there, the police just came up to him and they arrested him. There was about 6 or 7 police officers that came up, arrested him, put him into the back of the paddy wagon, into the back of the police van, drove him off to a court where there was already a judge sitting ready to hear his case. The judge, he appeared before the judge. The judge sentenced him immediately to 13 months prison. 13 months prison. Now, 3 months of that was a pre-suspended sentence. Okay, but he was sent, instead of 3 months, he was sent for 13 months prison in jail. And so the actual sentencing was that he was in contempt of court. That was the actual the reason why he was jailed, being in contempt of court. But that doesn't stack up, Vincent. Like, he was not being in contempt of court. He wasn't anywhere near the court steps. He was simply there doing journalistic work, and he was arrested, tried, and sent to prison. And he's still in prison to this day.
Well, now contrast this young man, Mr. Robinson, for being an activist in this country trying to awaken people, to this case going on in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania right now, a black activist who calls for Pittsburgh police to be slaughtered in wake of a teen's shooting death. And here's a little bit about the article. There's a young man by the name of Morsum Lee Miller, a black activist who also goes by the name Minister Marsalem X, called for activists around the country to converge with violence on Pittsburgh after the shooting death of a 17-year-old Antoine Rose. Antoine was killed on June 19th by an East Pittsburgh police officer following a traffic stop. So the East Pittsburgh police officer, Michael Rosfeld, pulled over a vehicle last week after the vehicle had reportedly been linked to a non-fatal drive-by shooting in another part of town earlier that evening. So Fox News reported that Rosfeld placed the vehicle's driver in handcuffs, and around this time, Rose and another passenger fled on foot. The outlet reported that no suspects had opened fire on police officers, but the officer reportedly shot Rose as he ran, striking him three times. Rose was taken to a nearby hospital where he died. So Allegheny County Police Superintendent Coleman McDonough said that the incident was under investigation and Rosfeld was put on leave. He also added that two guns were found in the vehicle after police executed a search. So what happens is this activist is now calling for violence against police to slaughter them everywhere that they go. So now you back that up, and this is what's even more bizarre, is that members of Trump administration are being urged to acquire concealed carry permits. I mean, what is it that is going on here? Are we seeing an escalation at this moment? I've never heard it before, but I started yesterday, not the new civil war, but the new civilian war. Is this coming carnage going to come from an inner fighting? Again, a house divided cannot stand. Is this the next civilian war that we're about to see erupt? And are we seeing the previews of that, Daniel?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what I actually said last time I was in America. I said you are witnessing a growing chasm between liberals and conservatives, and this chasm is not going to go away. And I said back then, back in March, I said this chasm is going to widen. It's going to widen, and it's not like conservatives are actually pulling away. I mean, conservatives are conservatives. We conserve. We're trying to conserve these timeless principles, okay? It's the left, it's the political left, and it's the culture that are basically spiraling away into wickedness. They are pulling so quickly away, and it's like the trajectory in which they're descending into wickedness is increasing by the day. There's this spirit of lawlessness, Vincent, that's behind this. And just as you said, like, there is this real growing contempt for anything and anyone that represents the law. You know, this is why, you know, I'm not sure whether you saw what happened in Portland, Oregon. In Portland, Oregon, there were activists that took over an ICE center, you know, the border police ICE center. Just incredible. There are one of the left-wing activists has doxed the names and address, the residential addresses of ICE border police, and said, you know, do what you need to do, basically. In other words, these border police, with the intention that these border police will be harassed. You know, the Department of Homeland Security head, Kirsten, I think, is that her name? I could be wrong. She had somebody threw a headless corpse on her front porch.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, I mean, this is incredible what we're looking at. Like there was another woman down in Florida, and she went to the cinema and she had abuse hurled at her and she was spat on. So, and then we have Maxine Waters, who's calling for more assault, calling for more harassment. You know, and of course, Sarah Sanders went to have a quiet dinner at the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia. And she not only was she asked to leave. So Sarah and her husband had had enough and they went home. But her family went to another restaurant across the street. The owner of the Red Hen and her employees went out and harassed the Huckabees at the other restaurant across the street. I mean, this is taking the Trump derangement syndrome to a whole new level. I mean, this is an incredible vitriol that we haven't seen in years. And it seems like it's only going to get worse. And when you really think about it, look at what the left have tried to do. The Russian collusion accusations didn't work. The Stormy Daniels accusations didn't work. And then they've tried with the new border, the children being separated at the border. And now that hasn't worked. So that it's one thing after the other after the other, all these different attempts trying to get rid of Trump, and Trump keeps on winning. You know, unemployment is at a record low. Black unemployment is at a record low. You know, the GDP is growing. Companies are coming in and bringing their factories back to the U.S. You know, more money is coming back to the U.S. The Dow Jones is above 26,000. You know, the U.S. economy is singing along. It is absolutely booming. And so this is what makes the Democrats so mad, because it makes Barack Obama's presidency look more and more pathetic. And they hate that. It reviles them. It upsets them. There is nothing worse than for their messiah, their liberal left-wing messiah, to look bad by President Trump, and that's another reason why they hate him with so much vitriol. But I would really love to say that this is going to be water under the bridge, but the left, you know, and this is one of the strategies that you read in Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. One of his points in his 12 Rules for Radicals was to never let up, to pile on the pressure, to keep making those phone calls, keep sending out those faxes, keep never let up and never give up until your opposition actually is wearied and ends up resigning or capitulating. That's what the left are doing, and it's I'm really concerned, because I don't want to see this go down the road of a civil war. But it seems like this growing divide between Americans is we could very well see what actually happened in the 1960s with the Weather Underground, and how the leftists in the Weather Underground carried out a domestic bombing. I'm really hoping it doesn't go down that way. But as each day passes, it looks like the left are turning toward more and more desperate measures.
Okay, so let's kind of track what you're saying right now, because it's very serious on a number of different levels. And we know that the scriptures tell us that when a house is full of strife and contention, they're going to destroy themselves. Okay, so we are seeing the four winds of our own internal destruction by the forces that are at work. And the questions that I have, I want to quote two things. Number one, a wonderful pastor back in 1990 made mention that a racial bloodbath was going to come to the shores of America. I mean, he understood this, was in the CIA before he ever became a pastor, and he knew that the day would come that one of the cards that would be played against the United States is the racial card. And then, of course, Jesus said that a war between the races would explode in the last days. I mean, those are his very own words. And so the question, what I want to really peer into, and I know we're going to need the scriptures for this, you know, the enemy, as far as Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, the planks of communism, et cetera, well, their enemy is the conservative, the Christian, the white, the constitutionalist, anybody that follows Rand Paul, some people have put it out there. So we have a conflict. And like with the Huckabees, the going to dinner, or the Homeland Security Secretary going to dinner, what is going to begin to happen is people are going to have to ask themselves, should I engage in this cultural battle anymore? Because now engagement means the possibility of violence. We have Maxine Waters, a black woman from California, calling for violence. And then we just read about this black activist in Pittsburgh calling for violence. And then I just saw a mixed race, almost black guy from the TV comedian is spewing the greatest measure of filth against Huckabee, saying what they should have done to her food in the back room. And I won't even go there. But
I saw that. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, they are so filthy.
The late night talk show host is saying that. Yeah.
That's correct. And again, I'm expressing black for a reason, because I'm not a racist, but I'm seeing a pattern of black men, black women, mixed race coming up right now, being the voice of violence, calling for active violence against people that support Donald Trump. So how do the Christian conservative people, I mean, are we all supposed to get guns and get ready for a Wild West? Is this going to be a battle like we've never seen in civilian malls? You know, you can't wear a I Love Donald Trump or Make America Great sign again. And are our freedoms now going to be restricted by roving gangs of violent people that are, you know, if five or six people start surrounding me at dinner? I mean, what would happen if five or six people started shouting at you at dinner? And I know some people that if, you know, a few people started shouting at them at dinner, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem. But the majority of people, Daniel, I do not believe are ready for this level of violence that is being turned up right now, which we've talked about for years. But now are we just seeing this become a reality genuinely? Is this what we're witnessing? And how do we respond?
Well, again, I don't want to be accused of using hyperbole or being a sensationalist, but I genuinely do believe that this will escalate. I hate saying that because I want to see the best for America, but when you look at all the trajectories in which where everything is heading, Vincent, like this is where the path. You know, you might remember back in October, I mentioned that America will come to a point where it will no longer have its union. And again, you know, I hate saying that, but even now, like there's talks of secession from different quarters. Like, you know, there's even talk from California seceding, parts of California seceding. You know, like I believe that the unity will be taken away. You know, I mean, America is known as being the United States of America. I believe that unity will be quickly just dissipating. And this is all the plan of the enemy. You were mentioning this previously, Pastor Vincent, when you said that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. This is the strategy of the enemy, and this is the strategy of the Marxists, because their strategy is to divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And that's defined as many... how can I say, the differences that they possibly can and to create agitation between those differences. You know, and this is what the left are very, very good at, because they thrive on victimhood. Because, you know, where there's victimhood, you'll find Marxism. Where there's no victimhood, there'll be no Marxism. It's just the way it works, you know. And this is all the satanic, you know, when you read in Isaiah 13, where it talks about, where you see this kind of like the devil saying, and I will ascend to Mount Zaphon. I will become like the Most High. You know, I think it's six times he says, I. You know, and in contrast to that, what do we read in the book, in Philippians? It says that God, that Jesus, you know, that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. You know, that is the difference between the two. So the attitude within Marxism is the jealous rage, or the envious rage. How dare they have that and not me? How dare they become successful? How dare they be successful and not me? It isn't fair. That really is the catch cry of the Marxist. It isn't fair. You can see that the attitude of the spoiled brat, you know, within them, the selfish, narcissistic, spoiled brat. That really sums up the whole attitude of the left, you know. And of course, this is all cloaked in virtue. This is all cloaked in compassion. Oh, we have compassion for the refugees who are trying to come in. You know, they try and make themselves out that they are the party of empathy, the party of compassion for the minorities. But don't be fooled by it. Don't be fooled by it at all. You know, what they want to do is to divide America. They want to divide and conquer. There are two classes that are particularly attracted to the left, the predator class and the victim class. You have the predator class are the ones who want the power. They want to control people. They want the money that comes along with it. This is what they're driven by. Control, manipulate, and basically to get as much power as they possibly can. The other class that's attracted is the victim class. The victim class. And of course, these two classes work side by side. The predator class appeals to the victims and says, listen to us. We hear you. We hear your voice, and we're going to help you. We're going to help you. You know, we're going to tax the rich. You know, they're the ones who are greedy, and we're going to ensure that you're looked after, and we're going to bring you equality, so that we're going to level the playing field. That's their attitude. That's exactly what they want to do. They want uniformity across the board. You know, they say they want diversity. They don't want diversity. They don't want diversity at all. They want a monoculture. They want a culture that has no distinctions whatsoever, that everybody is completely the same, where all races have all been blended together. You know, no beautiful distinctions that we find between cultures anymore. None of that. Everything is the one and the same. It's the spirit of globalism. It's the spirit of the Tower of Babel, Vincent. That's what it is. You know, the whole thing behind the Tower of Babel was all these races all coming together and mixing together and becoming one. But God doesn't want that. He created nations for a purpose. He created their own national identities. And that's a precious thing. That's a beautiful thing. That's not to be shamed or lamented over. God has given us distinct identities, and that's for a purpose. And he's given us our own distinct cultures that go along with that. So, you know, they say they want diversity. They don't want diversity. They want uniformity. And so this is just some of the things that the left have. And you can find it all in the Bible. This is the thing. You can find it all in the Bible, beginning at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, you know, where it says that where the snake says to Eve, he says that you will not die. What does he say? He says he just doesn't want you to eat this because he knows that you will become like God, that you will become like God. There we go. There's that equality thing. that you will be equal with God. So this is the whole satanic plan behind it.
And you are marching, my dear friend, down into a very deep underground reality when you start talking about the mixing of the races, because there are some anti-white groups in the world today that want to destroy every trace of anything that is pure white. And that's why now we're hearing this rhetoric about anybody that's following Trump is a Nazi. I mean, this is the mantra that is preached and taught and shouted, that anybody following that white-haired, blue-eyed devil is a Nazi, and that the entire country is turning into Nazi Germany, and people are hearing this. And we have, you see, I believe Maxine Walters is a racist. I know the young man in Pittsburgh that called for the slaughter of police officers is a racist. And these people are playing their internal hatred against the races that are predominantly the Republican, right, conservative, and white. And so we have a real strong, provocative battle. And it seems like every victory that comes in through the Supreme Court of the United States, there's been several victories in the last 36 hours, from travel bans to you name it, to pro-life. I mean, there have been victories, but each one of these represent a thorn in the side of this hate group known as the progressive left. Speak into that for just a moment.
Yeah, and it is such a deception. The ideology is extremely seductive. It's very seductive because, you know, there is this altruistic streak within the left. This altruistic, it has all of the appearances of altruism and compassion, okay? But it's not. If anything, I would say this. It's the devil's compassion. You know, people would say, is that possible? Is there such thing? You know, the devil's not compassionate. Of course he's not compassionate. But he has a strategy that is cloaked in virtue. It makes the people who wear this feeling incredibly empowered, like they are solving world hunger. You know, it makes them feel incredibly righteous. And this is what enables them to take the moral high ground and be able to wag their finger at people like Sarah Sanders and tell them, you know, we cannot morally have you in this restaurant, you know, because they have this false sense of righteousness where they believe that they hold the moral high ground. And yet, Vincent, there is so many hypocrisies that go along with that. But the hypocrisies are absolutely astounding, but they are so blind to it. For example, they were enraged that Jack Phillips won the Supreme Court case against him, where he could not create a custom wedding cake for a gay couple, you know, because it went against his conscience. The fact that he could never use his God-given talent to celebrate something, to create something that celebrated wickedness, you know, and the left was enraged when the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. But now, when a progressive family, so-called progressives, because they're not regressive is probably the better term, but when these leftist restaurant owners, you know, confront Sarah Sanders and tell her to get out because they can't serve her on moral grounds, they cheer that. They cheer that. I mean, the hypocrisy is absolutely astounding. It's just, you know, it's just so incredible, and they just can't see it. And by the way, Jack Phillips didn't deny that gay couple service. I mean, he offered them a plain cake and said, listen, you can do whatever you want on this cake. I can give you a plain cake and you can create whatever you want on it. You know, he offered them cupcakes. He sold them. He offered them cookies. He didn't deny them service. He was happy to serve them. He just couldn't create a custom message that celebrated something that the Bible says is wicked. Okay. However, in the case of the Red Hen restaurant, these leftists flat out denied them service. Flat out denied them service. I mean, this hypocrisy is just astounding.
Wow, that's a brilliant point, and it does show the absurdity behind what has been at work in our country. You know, you talk about the deep state, you talk about the dark state, you talk about the agenda, and we have to remember from a biblical perspective that there is a global agenda, and it is satanically inspired. The devil wants to rule the world, and he wants to put under everything that is moral, everything that is right, everything that stands for what is good. I mean, for example, right now, these are the three major prongs that are, you know, coming against us. Illegal immigration. You need to have borders. You need to protect your country if it's going to be a sovereign, independent country. So you need a culture of life. You don't want more mass murder of innocent babies shed innocent blood that God says condemns the land itself. The blood cries out. And you certainly don't want to saturate society with homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, and all of these things, including the saturation of the minds of the masses with pornography within our nation. So here we're trying to see a stand-up administration say, no, we want pro-life culture back in our country. We want a wall. We don't want anybody coming in. And yet it is the global agenda to destroy the borders. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton would be the president of the United States? What would be happening right now? The Christians would be groaning under the defilement of what would be happening. My goodness, we need to rejoice. And so Christians are making the move, if you will, by supporting a pro-life culture, wanting to see things get better, and yet the fight against it is becoming violent, not just political harassment, but literal violence is being called for, and these people will not stop. I thought maybe they'd get it straightened out. They are not going to. And so the division within the United States is going to determine and is going to necessitate, Daniel, the absolute utter collapse. And there are people say, man, I don't want collapse. Well, guess what? As divided as we are, the civilian revolution, the civilian war, not just the civil war between armies, but the civilian war is at the door in America today.
Absolutely correct. And, goodness me. I really hope that it could be avoided, but it just seems like it's unavoidable. You know, Pastor Vincent, I believe one of the major reasons why it's flaring up in such intensity is because Donald Trump is working behind the scenes with Jeff Sessions from the Department of Justice, and they have this plan to pull apart the deep state. Now, it's not going to happen quickly. It's a slow process, but they've got a plan in place in which they are going to gradually go after the deep state. And because of this, you know, this is why, I mean, this is why the whole controversy surrounding the children being separated from their parents at the border, I mean, did you notice the timing of that controversy? I mean, what was actually being released at the exact same time that controversy hit the news? The IG report was being released.
Right.
What was so important about the IG report? Well, the IG report showed damning information about FBI corruption, damning information about corruption going on in the FBI. Wasn't it interesting that manufactured outrage all came about at the same time? Now, by the way, that was a masterstroke of genius by the left to manufacture that outrage, because it did do two things. First of all, it deflected attention away from the release of the IG report. The second thing that it did was it's advocating its agenda for open borders. Now, you mentioned, Pastor Vincent, that you shudder at the thought of a Hillary Clinton presidency, and so you should. Hillary Clinton said behind doors at a meeting with Goldman Sachs, she said that she was in favor of open borders. Open borders. Now, open borders is a gift to any left-wing government because it means you get massive dependency, okay? An influx of refugees from the third world. I mean, here's the thing. Refugees, especially those who are dependent upon government handouts, always, almost always vote left. You can guarantee it. They will almost always vote left. Why? Because they want the government in power that's going to give them free stuff. You know, especially a government that's actually leaning towards giving illegal immigrants more and more benefits. I mean, that is the that is the dinner bell of all dinner bells, man. You've got the sugar on the table, you know. And people will come from everywhere. They'll come out of the woodwork for that thing. And for the Democrats, man, this is why they are wanting to give them voting rights. So first of all, they give them benefits, and the next thing that they give them is voting rights. And this is how, and this is what they're trying to do. By the way, notice that all this controversy is also centering around Texas, because they are focusing on Texas because they want to flip Texas from a red state to a blue state in the same way that of what they did to California. As you know, California used to be a red state. This is where my most admired president, Ronald Reagan, came from, you know. But what they did over the years is that they gradually turned California from a red state into a blue state, and they're trying to do the same thing to Texas. And if they can succeed in turning Texas from a red state to a blue state, man, shut the doors, you know, go home. I mean, it'll be a Democrat presidency. The Republicans will probably never, ever see another Republican president if Texas becomes a blue state. So this is why the situation is so dire. This is why they're fighting so hard, Vincent. This is why they are throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at this, because they've tossed the dice, and it's a massive gamble. They're doing everything they possibly can to see America awash in blue.
Well, I'll tell you what, you topped that off with Oklahoma yesterday voting for legalized marijuana. Arkansas has gone with legalization of marijuana. I'm always concerned about the scripture in Revelation chapter 18 that by their sorceries, their pharmakia is the Greek, their drugs, were all nations deceived. And so we are what, you know, this is an amazing moment. And again, I want to go back to the question. So how do we respond to the violence? Now, biblically, and that's the only way we could address these issues, what the Bible does say is turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give your coat with your shirt. And then, of course, in Matthew 5:43, we're told you shall love your neighbor, you shall love your enemies, you should bless those that curse you, you should do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So, you know, these are very difficult instructions for those that are going to be walking through this moment in time, because, you know, Americans have kind of a little bit of a backbone that when somebody pushes you, you push back, right? And very few are really able to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, bless those that curse you, love your enemies. You know, when somebody persecutes you or beats you up or spits in your face or wants to poison your food or kicks you out of the restaurant, you know, to maintain an attitude of love and mercy and grace and compassion. Do you think maybe this is where Christians are going to be tested to their core in the days that lie ahead?
Yes, absolutely. And Jesus warned about this. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Vincent, that's a great point that you raise, because we can never afford to stop loving our enemies. Yes, we need to love them and we need to reach out to them, but we cannot do it. And here's the thing, Vincent. See, the left take on that collectively. We are never to take that on collectively. because not all cultures are equal. Some cultures are really bad. Okay, the left cannot do that because they think in collective terms. Okay, they apply Christian teaching collectively, and that's where they fall down. This is where the leftist Christians fall down. You know, we can't do that. We have to do it on an individual basis. You know, if Joe down the street, you know, is an immigrant or whatever, that is a case-by-case scenario. We love our enemies on an individual basis, you know, and we reach out to them. But we need to take a stand against some cultures that will seek to bring about our ruin. We have to take a stand against those things. And this is why we need to have a proper understanding in regard to what God has called us to do in regard to these things. Yes, we need to love our neighbor, whoever that person may be. Okay, you know, if there are refugees that have just been housed in our street, then you reach out to them and you love them. Okay, but a lot of people struggle. One of the biggest challenges, I think, that we have today, Vincent, and this is what I've found with myself and with my ministry, is how do we take a stand against the Islamization of the West while at the same time reaching out to the Muslims with love and compassion? Is that possible? Well, I say, yes, it is possible. It is possible. Okay, we cannot afford not to take a firm stand against Islam. We need to put up protections in place to ensure that our national identity is not compromised. We need to put up protections to ensure that our people are protected. The security of the citizens is absolutely paramount. In other words, I mean, if a government, I mean, that's one of the very first callings, the very first purposes of a government to do, to ensure the security of its own people. Okay, if the government cannot do that, then they forfeit being a government. Okay, I mean, that's one of the primary things they need to do, is to look after the citizens. So we need to ensure that we don't get our collectivism mixed up with individualism. You know, yes, we need to love the individual Muslim, and we need to invite them into our home and do what we can and reach out to them with the gospel and just love on them. But when it comes to Islam en masse, we need to take a firm stand against it, because it is not compatible with a free Western society that was built upon the foundation of Christianity, the way that we need to go about it. I think that's the best way forward.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, because, you know, a lot of Christians are going to be faced with this decision, because the gospel seems to be saying to many people, you know, lay your swords down. And yet we're being told by our government experts that we're to take up arms because of the violence that is coming. In other words, get ready, for there's a battle ready to be fought.
Oh,
and
yeah. Isn't it funny? Because, you know, it was only months ago where, you know, there was these huge call by the left for Americans to disarm themselves. You know, all the gun grabbers came out in the aftermath of the
shooting
in Florida. Yeah, yeah. Right. So there was a massive push for Americans to repeal the Second Amendment. Okay, while on the other hand, look what's going on in your society. Look what's going on in American society. How on earth would they have the gall to call Americans to lay down their arms while at the same time they are demonizing good-hearted Americans who want conservative principles in government, that want a government limited by a constitution, that want to honor the constitution, that is proud of their country, is proud of their military? You know, they are at war with that, and yet at the same time they're telling the same people to get rid of their guns. Of course they want them to get rid of their guns. You know, they want to be in power. This is the predator class. They want the power. They want to call the shots. They want to preach to everybody else what is right and what is wrong. They want to enforce their view on what is good and what is evil on everybody else, you know. And it's funny how they call Trump a Hitler. They call him a Nazi. They call him a fascist. You know, Trump is actually trying to push for congressional term limits. Trump is trying to push for congressional term limits. That doesn't sound like a Hitler to me, mm-hmm. because tyrants, despots, they don't want congressional term limits, okay? They won't honor congressional term limits. They want to be in power for as long as they possibly can, okay? We have Trump who's defending the Constitution, okay? Tyrants hate a Constitution. They want to rip it up in the same way that Hitler ripped up the Constitution of the Weimar Republic, okay? So Trump is the complete opposite. His policy is conservative. His government policies is conservative. So, and he doesn't make any apologies for ensuring the best for the American people. And for them to say that Trump is a racist, that he's a Nazi, is pathologically disconnected from reality. You know, I mean, first of all, part of the reason why they can say those things is because they've never read a history book. They don't even know what real Nazism is about. They don't even know that Nazism is actually it's founded on socialism. I mean, when you break down the term Nazi, it's talking about the Nationalist Socialist Movement, for crying out loud. So there is such a dumbing down in the culture, Pastor Vincent, and this is part of the reason why we're seeing so much hysteria going on, because the populace has been dumbed down so much that falsehoods can fly about so easily, because the culture isn't even capable enough to comprehend sound reasoning and logic.
Well, I guess as long as the money is flowing, the jobs are up, your favorite team is winning, you've got a few bucks to get ready to go on vacation, a lot of people are bailing out of the conversation. They're just bailing out. You know, they don't want to hear all this negativity, and the silence is deafening in a degree. And then, of course, what you were just describing is that the left, in a sense, in an allegorical way, is steering the beast. It may be more of an actual reality. And what I sense is this coming racial explosion, where obviously the tinderbox is complete. All it is just one strike of the match and this thing goes. So the left is steering the beast, but there's a biblical concept that the beast will turn on those who steer it and will destroy it. And it's kind of like these white Democrats that are acting like they love the black people and are using the black race card to undermine, you know, a civil society, to try to stir violence within it. You know, you were slaves. The problem with America is that its masters were all white. I really believe that what this is boiling down to is a white extermination issue, and yet the very white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed people on the left are kind of steering the whole thing. And yet they are one of them. I don't understand that. You know, explain that to me.
Okay. You know what's fascinating, Vincent, is that tonight I was reading with my daughter as she was going to bed. I was reading Genesis chapter 9 with her. And I was reading at the very end where it says, you know, when Ham did that shameful thing with Noah, when Noah got himself drunk, did something shameful with his father. And so Japheth and Shem went in and clothed their father, covered him with a sheet. And it said, and then Noah cursed Canaan. Okay, not Ham, but his son Canaan, cursed Canaan. But then he pronounced a blessing on Japheth. A blessing on Japheth. And he said that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. Now, I thought that was interesting, because Japheth was blessed out of that scenario, And it's from Japheth that you get the Caucasian race. So from Japheth, you get the Scythians, which become the Russians. From Japheth, you get the Ashkenaz, those from the Ashkenazis from Germany and Central Europe. And from Tarshish, you get Tarshish out of Japheth, which is the descendants that went on to France and Spain. This is where all the Caucasians come from. The Caucasians come from Japheth. And there is a blessing that is upon that. And what is the satanic strategy, Vincent? Well, Satan hates that which God blesses. He hates that which God blesses. And it's no wonder that Western civilization is stems from Europe. It comes from Europe because it was the Europeans that, you know, we get our democracy from Greece. We get the culture and learning from France and Italy, and you know we get our laws and things from Rome and common law from England and all these things. It's all coming from what made a Western civilization great, came out of Europe, which was based on Christianity, but it was also the Caucasian races, and as a result of that, you can see this satanic rage at the whites. You know, I mean, as if skin color has anything to do with it. I mean, but Satan sees that the blessing that Noah put upon his son Japheth was meant that it was the descendants of that, the Caucasians, that were able to that basically came alive to the gospel message. And it was because of Christianity that all the first universities were built throughout Europe. You know, it was through Christianity that we had the classical period and where we had the arts and science and exploration and music and Mozart and, you know, Michelangelo and all these incredible advancements that we see all stemmed out of Christianity, and Satan hates it. He wants to see it completely destroyed. He wants to see white people completely wiped out. And, it's pretty obvious when you actually look back at the history and see what's actually going on.
Yeah, it certainly is, Daniel. We're coming to the end of our time. And, of course, it is the entire human race that has fallen short of the glory of God and has sinned against God, and that all are in need of salvation. And love is the answer. There's no doubt about it. And whether you're red, white, yellow, black, or green, you can get born again and begin a spiritual journey into everlasting life. But the reality on planet Earth right now is that there's a raging dragon. The time is short. The winds are blowing, and it is almost at the moment where the angels are going to release them. And these winds are the winds of war. They are the winds of famine. They are the winds of persecution, pestilence, violence of every kind. And it is the beginning of the end for the nations of the earth. And the hope of every human being on this earth is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until that time, prepare yourself for the storm that is raging and is about to make landfall on every nation around the world. It's going to be racial. It is going to be political. It is going to be in every substance of the human race. And we've just ran out of time. We may pick this up tomorrow. I'm going to be heading over to KERM Radio for a one-hour program in about an hour. So if you want to follow us over there, just go to KERM, K-U-R-M, as in Michael, K-U-R-M.net. We'll see you in about an hour. Daniel, as always, from Australia, get your rest, my dear friend, for your labor is not in vain and your ministry is important to these times. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Shalom. All right, we have run out of time. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. But I never like to leave this broadcast without my dear friend, Keith Green. We'll be seeing you tomorrow. Patricia will be right here.
Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. suffer here. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? 'Cause he brings people to your door and you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace, and all heaven just weep. 'Cause Jesus came to your door.
Hello, hello, hello. What an incredible program of Pastor Vincent. Just unbelievable the way the Lord had ministered to us from Australia. I mean, it's just excellent. And it opens the door to many, many, many questions. A house divided will fall. There is no doubt about it. But what is the answer for us? That was the cry that I heard over the airwaves. What is the answer for us? Nothing is truly stopping. What is happening is there's becoming a greater tension between the liberals and the conservatives because of the winnings of the president of the United States, Trump. So what we have then is an absolute understanding that this will be a reprieve for a period of time to reach multitudes of people for Christ before his coming. I see that as an opportune moment, a window in heaven opened, an open window opportunity. But what about us? What about the Christian? How do we react in such a time as this? Do we turn the other cheek when people are coming after us to hurt us, physically hurt us in some way or another, or to imprison us, or to bring disaster into our lives of destruction? What do we do? Do we turn the other cheek like the Sermon on the Mount? We were taught that. Do we love our enemies and regardless of what they're doing and the way they are allowing this destruction to come, do we still love our enemies that hurt us and bring various hurt and pain to the multitude of those who believe in God with all their heart and soul and mind? What do we do as Christians? Good question, isn't it? Well, I want you to consider something that is a very difficult thing for most Christians to consider, because truthfully, I don't think the full understanding has yet come to most hearts as to what God has in mind for those who love him. Let me read from 1 John 5:18. It's a scripture that the Lord showed me some time ago, and I've never heard it taught from the pulpit, whether on TV or in a regular church setting. It reads like this: we know that whosoever is born of God. Now that means truly born of God, a born again experience, a true born again experience that bears fruit. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Sinneth not. They do not continue in sin. And if they do, they are quick to repent and turn and walk in the path of righteousness. But they don't continue in the same sin over and over again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. Now, wickedness is in the earth today in a great measure. And we as Christians must understand and know spiritual warfare. But in order to even begin such a work, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself in the right way. And that wicked one, Satan and his demons, when touches him, cannot touch him. The wicked one touches him not. There's wickedness in the world. And those who will come to do destruction have a wicked heart, who want to tear down the walls of security around the United States of America. They have wicked hearts. They have agendas that are selfish, and they are very dangerous. How do we prepare ourselves? Again, is the great question. We keep ourselves uncompromised and in the righteousness of God. Jesus is the bread of life. We do have life and partake of him. And his blood is also spiritual medication to us. It was shed on our behalf. What do I mean by that? I mean that his works on the cross was the finish point of his victory. The veil to come to him opened, the release of God's Holy Spirit to us as a comforter. So we have the Holy Spirit as a comforter, which includes Jesus' power to heal us, released for those who believe in him. Jesus works on the cross as a medication that must be eaten. He's the bread of life, taken in. A liquid medication that must be absorbed into the mind and the emotions through many avenues, to include studying his word, prostrating before him in prayer in the Holy of Holiest. That's in Hebrews 10:19, which is his spiritual surgery room for us, his throne room of fire and crystal healing water, per Revelation in 22:1-2. Just look at it. And verse 17, Jesus' medicine of the cross again releases his power. His power to do what? To cast out devils, to cast out demons out of our temples, to set us free from curses of mental illness, trauma roots, addictions, anxieties, perverted demons, defiled religious demons, spirit of fear, all of that from us, but not from those in darkness, not from those that are hungry to have everything, as what was said earlier, as spoiled brats to take rather than to build. So all of this, spirit of rejections and anger and hurt and body sickness, was taken on the cross. This is our warfare of success. Jesus is the bread of life. His flesh and blood is as good as medicine. We have to understand, folks, the power we have been granted. And that's why I wrote my book, The Christian Bill of Rights, which is deliverance. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And you know, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. We are to be taught of God. We are being taught how to do spiritual warfare, how to protect ourselves. Now, some people would scoff at that and say, come on, you're going to fight these battles coming on the earth in this nation with spiritual warfare? Yes, because what is behind every evil and every man practicing evil is a demon or demon spirits. More than one. And the word of God is absolutely clear. We do not fight flesh and blood by killing off one another or hurting one another for our safety. We do not fight flesh and blood. We fight demonic spirits in high places that are in control. And this is the very reason we must learn spiritual warfare if we want to continue in this war that has been perpetuated upon us in the United States of America and all over the world. Because guns won't help. Sooner or later, the demon spirits will run elsewhere when they can't use a body again, and it's just going to grow in momentum, and it's going to grow in the power of great and mighty destruction. But we could bind, and we could cast out a demon and command it to go to the dry place. We can bind it and cast it out into the dry place. And what is the dry place? Jesus said that the demons must be cast out into the dry place. It is where they don't have any ability to use human beings or animals, for that matter, in which they could. So how do we fight? We prepare ourselves. We become cleansed of all unrighteousness. We become the absolute product of God's work in this earth, a kingdom not only within us, but a kingdom being established of righteousness, power, might, holiness, goodness, in which the enemy, who uses all these individuals on the earth right now, could have no power against us. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. I hope it does to you too. Now, another thought of how mighty this work is. When Jesus Christ was on a hill, a high hill, a mountain, and there were many people around and about him, they wanted to turn on him. And they wanted to hurt him and destroy him. But because he did not sin, as is mentioned in the scripture that I just read to you in 1 John 5:18, because he did not sin, they couldn't touch him. He just moved out of the way and they didn't know where he was. They couldn't see him. They couldn't touch him. Was that miraculous? Yes, it was working by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know and realize that they could not even put him to the cross? Rome and all of the deviant Jews who made a decision to do that, kill their own Messiah, could not even put him into that position on the cross if he did not allow it. All he had to do is walk away from it and say no. But he allowed himself to be put to the cross. He allowed the power of the enemy to take over his being as a sacrifice of the precious Lamb who had no sin for us who have sin, that we may be pardoned before our Heavenly Father, so that we can spend eternity with him. He could have said no, and then Satan would not have been able to touch him. But instead, he was mocked by Satan with the cohorts he was using, the human beings that were putting him to the cross, mocking at him. And telling him, if you're such a great God, do something, come off the cross. He wouldn't do that. He allowed that to happen. And if he did not allow it to happen, it could never have happened because he did not sin. Now, I want you to go back to 1 John 5:18 and say, read it again and what it says. We know that whosoever is born of God, and Jesus Christ was, sins not, and you need not either. But he that is begotten of God, in other words, God has gotten a hold of our hearts, keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And that wicked one is Satan. Now, we are able, body of Christ, to rise up to a new level of occupation in the army of God. We are able to become warriors that Satan and his devils have never seen before. A corporate army doing warfare, spiritual warfare against him. But we have to become aware of the authority we have been granted in his name, because he already overcame on the cross, and he passes that authority to us who are willing to listen, who are willing to know that he says that we must overcome the devil, the world. The world, the devil, and the flesh. We have already been granted the ability to do so, to overcome the world, the devil, and the flesh. So I am saying to you, do you believe? Do you believe in the word of God as it is written? You see, that is the crux of all things, because he who believes in not is in sin. He who has no faith is in sin. And what is the basis of all sin? Unbelief. The Lord said, what I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father in heaven. Prophets have given word to this. And it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Who's all? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me, who is Jesus. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. And that bread of life, you see, the bread is the essential of Christ himself within us. We feed on it. We eat it. We become partakers of it. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He's talking about the Old Testament. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he did on the cross. He gave his flesh to the cross. What a mighty God we serve. And then it says that the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, partake of him, he's the bread of life, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. That's where communion comes in, as a symbolic meaning of who Christ was, that we partake of and drink of. And then it goes on to say, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. And folks, that last day is coming soon. He goes on to say, our Lord Jesus Christ, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, God Almighty, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many disciples turn away, as today many who say, Lord, Lord, are offended by the teaching of Jesus as a healing medicine of the cross, and are offended by the work of deliverance and the healing power of Jesus. As a result, many shall fall away in this day, in this final hour of great mental delusion. This is Patricia Xavier of New Wine Ministry, wife of Pastor Vincent Xavier, as we work together to bring the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ's word, deliverance, and hope for tomorrow. God bless you.